This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California, September the 13th, 1981, and this is broadcast number 510. For the past several years, I've been listing off a series of names on these programs for 10 years, going back to the Nazi connections to the assassination of John Kennedy, and the oil interests, and the various factors, the factions that were behind not only the murder of John Kennedy, but of hundreds of people, even thousands of people around the world, politicians, actors, musicians, people in public life, people who knew too much, witnesses to trials. And I think it was 5 or 6 years ago I began to collect information for a book called Murderville USA. Have files and files of articles of suspicious deaths, people like Edward R. Murrow, the radio announcer, Walter Winchell, and Drew Pearson, and reason to believe that these people met untimely and early deaths. And I've been concerned as I studied the John Kennedy assassination, starting 17 years ago, of George de Morenschild, a Nazi spy that worked with Lee Harvey Oswald, and all of the people from the Defense Department, from the Defense Security, from the highest levels of the military organizations that worked with Lee and Marina Oswald, particularly Lee Oswald. She was brought over here from the Soviet Union and wasn't aware at that time, and is only beginning to become aware of the kind of people that they were surrounded with. But through the years, I've tried to put together the threads of these interlocking organizations that brought us from the period I studied, say, the John Kennedy assassination, up to the present day, and projecting to the future, what will our future be like? Now, there is a book. It's a book of several, about 100 pages, publicly printed. I'm trying to get the price for you to see if it can be reproduced, not too expensively, put out by Charles Spears in Texas. He has done a great service in collecting the history of our era, and he has condensed the Torba document. That is a manuscript that was put out in Texas in 1970. And he has made it readable and explained it and filled in the pieces from the time that was written to the present date. And I believe that Charles Spears understands totally the way the espionage system and the Defense Department work, and can put in all the pieces as they have come along from day to day now, having studied the past and continually updating information on the past. I'm impressed with what he keeps putting out in terms of documentation and dates and connecting links of the plans to overthrow this country and bring us into a third world war and to decimate the United States, actually, as a country the way it was intended to be. Japan and Germany will be strong, and the United States will be weakened. And this is being manipulated outside the country, and particularly in South America, Africa, Southeast Asia, and from Spain and other countries around the world. The problem with the United States isn't the Soviet Union, that large landmass. I don't believe it ever was. I believe it was the seeds of Nazism that were planted after World War I and continue right through the present day. Another person who seems to understand the bits and pieces of this puzzle I'm terribly impressed with is Jonathan Marshall in San Francisco. I mentioned for your researchers the newsletter that he gets out now called Parapolitics USA, and you can get the address from me and write to him, 1633 California Street, San Francisco, 94109. His subscription is $25 for 1 year, but he just sent out a section of from August of this year, and it is packed filled with information that it would be hard to accumulate and get from a lot of other newspaper stories, and it is very, very valuable for people putting the pieces of the puzzle together who want to really find out what is happening to this country, not in the terms of that Band-Aid society of solving one problem at a time, but really getting into the interlocking connections. I'm going to mention a few sections from Parapolitics later in this hour by Jonathan Marshall, and they're just amazing. He covers in this section a few pages on Reagan administration scandals, and he's got one organized crime figure after the other. He mentions Norman Brahman, Jackie Presser, Roy Williams, Ray Donovan, Michael McClanney, Paul Laxalt, C. Arnold Smith, Frank Sinatra, with the links to Caesar's World, and William Casey and the Vesco and Multiponics connections, Max Ugel, William McCann, the ambassador to Ireland that was brought home, Maxwell Rabb, with its Meyer-Lansky connections. He's got about 20 or more connections to the White House of the toughest officials of organized crime. He's got sections on Michael Sindona, the financier of the Vatican, that brought the Vatican into bankruptcy. I read today that they're going to start explaining their finances to the people. They're losing $30 million a year. And this was done purposely to break the back and the stronghold of the Catholic Church. Michael Sindona and the P2 scandal, and he brings in the Reagan gang that helped put Reagan into office, linked to Licio Gelli in Italy and John Connolly, and a whole combine that would go back to the Kennedy assassination, but they're involved in breaking the Vatican now. They're not satisfied with the other murders, but they're trying to break the finances and the backing the Vatican had. Then there's a large section on Turpel, Wilson, and the Nugan Hand Bank. I'll read some of that to you and outline it, if not tonight, on other programs. Very, very valuable information on these people. Then on neo-fascism, terrorism, and mercenaries, organized crime, and gambling. He's got the Wilson, Turpel, Shackley, the company, the CIA. It's just filled with information. I can't even begin to list off the names of people that are in this newsletter that he has. And if you can afford $25 a year, get it. If you can't, I'll outline in the weeks to come some of the most important stories. One item he has, a section here, is on the Friends of Michael Sindona, written by a Kevin Coogan. I'm not familiar with this person. And it has to do with the OSS at the end of World War II. That's before we had the CIA, had a document involving what Italy and England were to do when the war was over. Now, the war in Europe wasn't over against Germany and Mussolini until April 1945. But on October 24th, 1944, the Office of Strategic Service, OSS, distributed copies of reports they received in Rome from a member of the Communist Party that they passed on to the OSS. Members of the Communist Party got these documents that they gave to the OSS that allegedly was to protect American interests. But at the time, Mr. Donovan of the OSS with Alan Dulles was in Switzerland making deals with Reinhard Gehlen, Hitler's chief of intelligence for the Eastern Division, the head Nazi, and Mussolini's fascist. They were making deals to prepare and arm against the Soviet Union. This was in 1944, and this document begins, it was just declassified in 1975, it begins this way. It is reported reliably that the reactionary monarchist forces, which in alliance with the highest exponents of Italian plutocracy, the industrialist businessmen and large property owners and shareholders, are beginning to fear that their personal safety and that of their capital are about to gather their strength into a new organization under the direction of the Italian Grand Orient. And this became the P2, the Licio Gelli scandal that is breaking right now, and Gelli is in hiding. He had worked with Franco in Spain, with Adolf Hitler, with Mussolini, and Lenin, with Perón. But the Italian Grand Orient began an organization deciding in 1944, with the approval and probably the aid of the British Universal Orient, the problem of the organization would be to act upon international and internal diplomacy to control the governments that would follow when Mussolini fell and eventually overthrow and change any government which would be favorable to the communists. They were to, in quotes, finance bands of murderers made up of Nazi fascist remnants and professional gangsters and set them on the communists. Now, Lucky Luciano and organized crime began in Italy. Luciano was meeting with William Casey of the OSS in that exact time period, and that is when the Permandex organization was to get its nucleus and set up its band of assassinations that would be sent all over the world to kill any person that would be in favor of a socialist government or what would appear to be a communist government to these financiers, fascists, and capitalists. in Charles Spear's opening statement of his short, it really is a book-length amount of material, Chapter 1, he begins with Permandex and its five subsidiaries. And he lists the background of Permandex and how it came into existence. The Defense Industry Security Command began when J. Edgar Hoover in the early 30s organized the police force of the fledgling Tennessee Valley Authority at the request of David Lilienthal. The police force covered the entire TVA from Knoxville, Tennessee, through Huntsville and Florence, Alabama, and into Kentucky and part of Tennessee and into southern Kentucky. This was one of the first federal agencies with their own separate police force. The force grew, and Lilienthal took it forward to cover the Atomic Energy Commission. Now, this was the period up to World War II when it broke out. L.M. Bloomfield, then, in Montreal, a Canadian lawyer, the direct supervisor of all contractual agents with J. Edgar Hoover of Division 5 of the FBI, coordinated their network planning, the execution of their operations. A Swiss corporation, Permandex, was used for a head, a five-front organization group responsible for furnishing personnel and supervise and carry out their assigned duties. Now, in the newsletter of Jonathan Marshall, he has the document that was given to the OSS after the war of these people, the Grand Orient, the group that was to sabotage all governments and the Vatican, and their real loyalty was to Adolf Hitler and Mussolini, and I'm going into the Bormann Brotherhood in a minute, and to finance murderers and combine the Nazi fascists and professional gangsters and set them up. At the time this document was disseminated by the OSS in 1944, certain leading industrial circles in Italy began acting on their program, and it goes into a man, Franco Marinotti, who became the godfather and the key man under Michael Sindona and led him through for many years into his operations. Michael Sindona, according to these newsletters, was active with the CIA to launder money for the Greek colonel's coup. That was the one that was put into power by Roy Ash and Linton Industries and Tom Pappas of the CIA and Spiro Agnew. This is the Sedona drug running connection, top financiers, international mafia, backed by NATO. Now, this section of the OSS document that was obtained in 1944, I'll again go into details later on that. But when you place that together with the Torpid document and the subsidiaries of the assassination teams, you have an operation meeting places, the decisions of how to control the world, who should be killed, and when somebody was not pleasant to the ruling power, how they would be killed. That is why I disagree with authors and researchers who say the decision to kill John Kennedy was made when he pulled back from the Bay of Pigs. The decision to kill John Kennedy was made as soon as he ran against Richard Nixon and had the potential to beat Richard Nixon. And it was certain that Richard Nixon would be put into power because he was handpicked by this group, and Ronald Reagan was handpicked and groomed by this group. Well, I got the book I mentioned last week on this program, Martin Bormann in Exile by Paul Manning. I only got it yesterday, and I looked up certain names in the index that were very interesting, and I will be reading it for the next 2 or 3 weeks and outlining it and try to make some sense out of what this book is saying. Because for years, as I say, 10 years on the air, this is my 11th year, what I really have been describing is the Bormann Brotherhood. What I have been talking about are the facets of the operations of the teams of industrialists and the monarchists and the ruling elite, the bankers, to continue the war against the Soviet Union that Hitler couldn't finish. Hitler was put there to be a bulwark against the Soviet Union. When he couldn't conquer the Russians, then the system began in 1943 to regenerate itself and start. And the people that I name on these programs, I'm absolutely convinced, are part of that Bormann Brotherhood. And I don't believe that they are not doing it without a knowledge of it. I don't think they're innocent dupes. the fringe could be innocent dupes, but otherwise they would speak up on some social problems. There's just too many things happening today in the news, in the world, that demand people speak up and cry out, and yet there's such a terrible silence that the leading people in the news media have to be some part of this inner team that has controlled the methods of communication since the end of World War I and continue the major, the talk shows, the evening news, the television news, and so forth, and the newspaper publishers have to be part of this larger network. If the Bormann Brotherhood did and does consist of 750 whale-heeled organizations, one man, this Richard Murdoch, Robert Murdoch, who owns papers in Australia and the London Times and in New York City, and I believe he bought New West and Esquire magazine. He was buying up magazines and newspapers. He was linked down in Australia to the Nguyen Bank, to politicians there, and the CIA and the drug traffic agents of the CIA. And he controls many newspapers, and it only takes a handful of people like the Hearst Combine are buying up 20 small papers in Los Angeles now. And, of course, the Hearst chain was gung-ho for Hitler and Mussolini before. Now, I took some of the articles this week, particularly the one that was in the New York Times, September the 6th, 1981, and I laid them all out and tried to make some sense out of what these people are saying, such as Seymour Hersh or Jeff Gerth or Philip Talman. And the New York Times Sunday, that's a week ago today, has that large article, Ex-CIA Agents Associates Running Arms Export Concerns. Now, that isn't the lead article begins that way, but that doesn't begin to touch what is going on with the United States, because these articles talk about corporate connections of the Central Intelligence Agency to the Egyptian American Transport Services, which is billions of dollars to Egypt, controlled by the CIA, sending all these weapons over there, a monopoly by certain people in Houston, Texas, and in the CIA, particularly a man, Thomas G. Clines. The API distributing company out of Mexico, Houston, Texas, with Mr. Clines and Mr. Wilson. There's a System Services International Incorporated with Mr. Clines and Theodore Shackley. The International Research and Trade out of Bermuda with Theodore Clines and Thomas Clines and Theodore Shackley. And these men, again, are linked directly to funding the money into the Australian Nguyen Bank, which is the largest heroin operation in the entire world and is totally controlled by the CIA. They have a company called the Research Associates International, run by Mr. Clines with Theodore Shackley as president. Systems Engineering International Corporation, SECO, another company. Now, the companies they have go on and on and on, and they're CIA links. American Electronics Company from Pennsylvania and Virginia supplies the operations to send weapons to Gaddafi over in Europe or to Idi Amin and to the PLO and the Irish Republic. The CIA Scientific Communications Company out of Dallas, run by Joe Halpain. CIA agent William Weisenberger, Chief Technical Services Division, sending exotic weapons. And Thomas Clines and these various characters high, high up in the intelligence community. Now, I try to analyze what it is that is allowing these people, the military, people from Fort Bragg, the Army, the Green Berets, the weapons. Why are they sending all of these weapons to Gaddafi? If he is so dangerous, if Idi Amin is so bad, why is the CIA, why is the Defense Department sending it? Why is the Justice Department prosecuting? They're directly linked to the Alpha 66, to Cuban assassins. In fact, CBS News finally had a news story this last week on Mr. Clines and Mr. Edwin Wilson and Frank Turple and Rafael Quintero, a man who sets up assassination teams who works for Mr. Clines in Texas. Now, if Gaddafi wants to murder a Libyan in Egypt, which he wanted to do, why does he go to the United States CIA to get three anti-Castro Cubans, one the president of a CIA corporation in Texas, Dallas, to go to Egypt to kill this person? It seems to me with unemployment or inflation or problems over in Libya, and with the mind control programs and the terrorist training and the billions of dollars that they bought in equipment and bombs and satchels that blow up and cigarettes that blow up, why does Gaddafi use CIA people to do the dirty work or to try to kill a man over in Egypt? And why do the anti-Castro Cuban CIA report back to the CIA on the job they're supposed to be doing for Gaddafi over in Libya? Well, if we spend a little time in the next years, future years, reading up on Gaddafi, reading up on Sadat, which I had done at one time, maybe the answer is more in who is Gaddafi, who is trading with him, what is his real role, and how does he get his power? How does he ask the CIA agents for assassins, and then they report back to the United States? Why are they doing that for him? How come the CIA, FBI know who he's going to kill, and so forth? Well, in this new book, Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, by Paul Manning, I looked up Gaddafi right away, and on page 212, this is what is mentioned. It talks about, in South America, a man named Barbie, who was a notorious Nazi war criminal, was under the protection in South America of General Heinrich Mueller. And those of you who study Nazi situations know Heinrich Mueller. And in some circumstances, Barbie and Mueller worked for the Central Intelligence Agency, so the sponsorship was impeccable and incontrovertible. Mueller never leaves Latin America, or not very often, but his agents in the Bormann Brotherhood, and this is the group that have continued the Nazification of the world with unlimited money, all kinds of gold and money and counterfeit money and forged documents and narcotics traffic and banking money and control of Chase Manhattan and other banks, the Bormann Brotherhood. But Mueller, according to this book on page 212, doesn't leave Latin America often. His agents roam America and Europe, but they're provided with protection by other leaders in exile who manage to travel to Madrid, Sweden, Switzerland, France, Italy, or North America, and they've been known to take on lucrative secret police assignments. Now, Mueller's agents, are provided protection by leaders in exile, and they travel. Does that remind you of Mahmoud Mejad, the man who shot the Pope, who belonged to the Grey Wolves, the Nazi group out of Germany and Turkey, who went in and out of countries and into Spain for 3 weeks before he went to Rome to shoot the Pope? They have people in each of these countries and more who help them and take on the assignment to protect them. When Colonel Nasser became president of Egypt, he asked for CIA assistance in establishing a similar organization, such as the CIA in Egypt. At that time, Nasser's assistant, and I'll go into that more, was Sadat, who was a member of the Bormann Brotherhood also. And I believe that Nasser died young and was murdered, and then Sadat came on. But when Nasser was the president of Egypt, he wanted CIA assistance. The CIA didn't want to become involved with Nasser right away in Egypt, so they referred him to General Reinhard Gehlen, who was chief of West German Federal Intelligence, which was, in fact, maintained by the CIA. This is Hitler's chief of intelligence. Gehlen then passed this question on. They say he ducked the request, but he went to Hallmar Schacht, who was minister for finance for Hitler, and approached him, and Otto Skorzeny, who made his headquarters in Spain. He didn't want the assignment either, but he was the son-in-law of Hallmar Schacht, and he was living in Spain and also in Dublin, Ireland. And at the urging of Schacht, they sent Heinrich Mueller, one of the most notorious Nazis in the world today, from Brazil, and they sent a team of secret police, and they went to Cairo, where Skorzeny and Mueller helped Nasser set up his intelligence agency. Mueller's team established such an effective intelligence service for Nasser, known as the General Intelligence Service, the Colonel Gaddafi of Libya. Then the new revolutionary leader of his country asked Nasser to make the German team of advisors available to him also. This was done by the Bormann Brotherhood, by the Nazis, by Hallmar Schacht, Reinhard Gehlen, Otto Skorzeny. They set up for Gaddafi, and the Germans started, according to this book on Bormann, with a thorough house cleaning of the Libyan secret police used by the former ruler, King Idris. So when Gaddafi came into power in 1969, he had the total control of the Bormann Brotherhood setting up his police. Now, Gaddafi takes money and gives the PLO to hijack airplanes, to kill the athletes, the Jewish athletes in Munich, to kill Jews in France, in the synagogues, to be behind the Nazification. It wouldn't look right if our CIA was doing it, but Gaddafi was set up by the Bormann Brotherhood, and if you look at that book on Bormann, Nazi in Exile, on Heinrich Mueller in the index, there are many, many, many pages about him, and the index is interesting to just get a glance at and then go back. As I say, I've only had the book one day, and I looked up Gaddafi because nothing was making sense to me that we have so much interest in Gaddafi and the people that are working with Gaddafi are not really sought. The only reason Wilson and Turpel are sought is because of charges from 1966 to 1968, and they'll get a slap on the wrist, but the CIA is behind a lot of these operations of terror around the world. Carlos the Terrorist, the SLA, I've talked about the Manson family and the SLA, the terror on the left, the Red Brigades and all of them, the Baader-Meinhof and all of them, were set up by our own intelligence community with money poured into Gaddafi and Idi Amin, into the PLO, to do the killing for us and spread the terror, because the terror then would be the cause for books like The Spike or The Terror Network by Claire Sterling. And then it is the excuse also for police and international police and keeping tracks of people who want to change governments economically and link them with this terrorism. I have an article going back. This was in the LA Times and the London Times, October the 10th, 1980. French neo-Nazis backed by Gaddafi, seen in the terror. In this article, as I say, you can get it from the LA Times. It was a year ago, October 1980. Saying that historians see the parallel between European fascism in the 1930s and the current murder of French Jews, this is in 1980. The bombings in Paris and synagogues and in October 1984 were dead and 12 injured. In Munich, this last 2 weeks ago, there was a bombing, it was in Austria, I believe, Vienna, a synagogue, and people leaving a bar mitzvah murdered, and the guests slain coming out of the synagogue. This article says that the French right-wing movement is violently anti-Semitic. It's supported by Gaddafi. Gaddafi is opposed to Israel, and he organizes the PLO. The French Nazis may be training terror in Lebanon, and that's, of course, where Mark David Chapman went and came back home and did his trip around the world and then shot John Lennon, a spokesman for peace. And this article says money and training has been given to Irish, Italian, German terrorists to kill Jews in various countries. Now, this is about Nazis and Gaddafi. But if Gaddafi is funded by Mueller and Gehlen and Hallmar Schacht and Otto Skorzeny, if they put him in power in the first place, he's doing just what they wanted him to do. And I think that Gaddafi's career and his behavior has to be understood, because the role of the many organizations and institutions that are sending money into the Middle East is just too many to make any sense unless they want it there, and Gaddafi is doing what these other people would like to do to keep a position of unrest going all the time, so that the far right wing can step in and, in quotes, bring order. In another book, The Control of Oil by John Blair, Pantheon book, it tells about Gaddafi coming to power and graduating. This book says he graduated from the University of Libya in 1963. That's the year that Kennedy was assassinated. And the Royal Military Academy in 1965. He had taken advanced military training in Great Britain and in the United States. Gaddafi was not a product just of the Middle East. He was in the United States like Anastasia Somoza from Nicaragua. He got his military training here. He got in Great Britain. He has close links with Carlos and Frank Turbell and Samuel Cummings and the British, our CIA, the British intelligence system. They've been linked directly to the British intelligence system and to Scotland Yard. So that what looks like terrorism in one part of the country is just more of the system using a few people for what appears to be the violence, and it is violence, while the other elements sit at their tables and appear to be making contracts and deals on a diplomatic level, which isn't going to work. Another article, it was in the Washington Post, June 22nd, 1981. This has to do with Frank Turbell and Edwin Wilson and from China Lake, where they allegedly had a theft of radar equipment, highly technical equipment. Turbell and Wilson stole a ton of stuff from China Lake. How could these two people steal a ton of stuff from a military establishment, except that the Military Defense Industry Security Command guards the door, and the DISC, the Defense Industry Security Command, is behind these assassins? This article goes on to say Turbell and Wilson have been accused in indictments for hiring Green Berets and for helping international terrorist groups such as the Italy's Red Brigade, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the Irish Republican Army. These two former agents were involved with five other men at China Lake, stealing military night scopes, low-night television camera, remote control helicopters, and so forth. I asked the question last week, if we're arming Sadat and we're arming Gaddafi, and they're both members of the Bormann Brotherhood, are we doing just a ballet of illusions to keep some of the other nations off guard as to our other future plans with the Bormann Brotherhood? This is the end of the first 30 minutes. I'll take 1 minute break and we'll get back to these dogs in 1 minute.
This concludes the first half of World Watchers International with Mae Brussel. We will return with the second half after a brief pause.